Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We've been talking, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, about faith to move mountains. And we want to activate our faith. We want to learn to expand and enlarge our faith, that we could have greater faith for greater things for the kingdom. And it's God's will that you do great and mighty exploits for the kingdom, and that you activate your faith. You take that little measure of faith that he has given you, that little mustard seed of faith, and you speak to the mountains in your life. We talked about last time about speaking to the mountains and get those mountains to move out of your life. Those things that are holding you back, those impediments, those encumbrances that are holding you back. And we want to move forward in the kingdom to do great and mighty things. Well, we all have needs in the physical realm. I think by the time you get to be more than a teenager, and even some teenagers have needs in the physical realm. And so we ask the Lord to heal our infirmities. We ask the Lord to heal our physical weaknesses. And so there's never a time when we're not asking the Lord to heal us. There's never a time when we don't need healing. And if your body is perfectly whole, which I doubt if it is, but if by chance your body is perfectly whole, you can intercede for other people. You can pray for those who are sick. You can lay hands on those who need healing. And so we're going to talk about today activating your faith for healing in the body of Christ. Mark 8:22, it says, Jesus came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up, the blind man looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. And then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into town nor tell anyone in the town. Well, this is a rather startling and unusual way to heal. I'm not going to make any questions about Jesus' methodology here. If he were to spit on somebody's eyes today and put his hands on them and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, there's a good chance that he might be arrested. There's a good chance that he might be questioned severely. And so maybe this is the reason he took the young man, or took the man outside of town, is so that he could do this and nobody else would be a witness to it. But apparently somebody was a witness. Mark was a witness. Somebody saw it. And so anyway, if God tells you to do something unusual, you may want to get the person out of town, or you may want to get the person where there aren't any witnesses. But this is obviously very unusual for Jesus to spit on somebody's eyes. But that's not the main point of this story. Jesus says to the blind man, have you been healed? And the blind man begged Jesus to touch him. And so Jesus spit on his eyes, and then he touched him. He put his hands on him, and then Jesus asked him, have you been healed? And the blind man said, no, I see men like trees walking. Well, I believe the blind man was seeing in the spirit realm. He was seeing men as they appear in the spirit realm, which they may appear somewhat symbolically as trees. You know, you think of a real strong man as a strong oak tree, or you think of a weak man maybe as a willow that bends easily. And so he didn't receive his healing. The point I'm trying to make here is he did not receive his healing totally all at once. He received a partial healing. He was seeing some images, and he received a partial healing. And then Jesus put his hands on his eyes a second time and had him to look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. And then Jesus sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone into the town. And so the point I am trying to make here is, and for your application and for your healing, is if you do not receive healing the first time, if you don't receive the clarity, whether it's your eyes, your hearing, your blood profile, your high blood pressure, your thyroid issue, your cancer, whatever, you keep asking. Maybe God has a healing for you the next time that you ask. Maybe God has a complete and total healing for you if you just have the faith to keep asking. And many times we give up. Many times we say, well, God really doesn't care if I'm healed again. God doesn't care if I get a total healing. Well, you keep asking and you keep believing and you keep seeking the Lord and you keep thanking Him, and God will give you that total healing. It is His desire in nearly every instance, in nearly every situation. I believe it is His desire. There may be a few extraordinary situations and instances where it is not His desire to heal, but in most situations and in most cases, I believe it is God's desire to heal you. And so if you keep asking, if you keep faithful and you keep believing, maybe that next time that you ask will be the time when you receive your full healing. Maybe that next time is the time when God says, okay, I'm going to give a reward to His faith because I believe now that His faith is complete, that He is asking me out of faith and asking in belief that He is going to receive it. And so this time I'm going to give it to Him. Well, Matthew 7:7, it tells us that Jesus was saying to the disciples, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of Him? And so there's three levels of asking. There's three levels of crying out to the Lord. First is that you ask. That is when you come to the Lord and you ask Him for the needs that you have. And it's okay, beloved, it's okay to ask the Lord for everything that you need. You don't have to hold back. If you need money, if you need strength in your body, if you need clarity of your mind, if you need wisdom, if you need provision, whatever it is you need, come to the Lord and ask. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my need. This is my need. I'm often reminded of the story of Kenneth Copeland when he graduated from Bible college. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any place to preach. He had no clear plan there for his life, and he just came to the Lord and he said, Lord, I need a suit of clothes, I need a car, I need a little bit of money for gasoline. Lord, your servant is here to serve you. Your servant is ready to go, and I need these things, and I want to go out and preach the gospel. I want to go out and give the good news to people who need to know you, and so I need these things. And lo and behold, can you imagine, the Lord answered Kenneth's prayer and gave him a car to drive and a suit of clothes and some money to buy gasoline, and he lined up a whole bunch of churches, and that was about 40 years ago or 50 years ago, I don't know for sure, but anyway, ever since then, Kenneth Copeland has been preaching the word all over the earth and all over the United States. And so God knows your heart when you ask. And then the second level of asking is that you seek. In other words, you go beyond just asking. You start to really seek the Lord. You start to say, Lord, I want more of you. I want to seek you. And the Lord says in Jeremiah 29:13, if you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me, you will find me. Submit yourself to me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And if you seek the Lord, if you seek the things of the kingdom of God, the devil is going to flee from you and you're going to get more of the Lord. You're going to get more of what God has for you. You're going to receive the gifts that He has for you, the destiny that He has for you, the calling that He has for you, the will that He has for your life is going to be revealed to you, and you're going to come to know God in a greater measure if you seek Him. And if you don't care about seeking Him, if you don't care about your walk in the kingdom, then you're not going to have very much of the Lord. You're going to have a lot of the devil. You're going to have a lot of the world. But, beloved, if you are seeking God, if you are seeking the kingdom of God in your life and the good and perfect gifts that the Father has for you, God is not a miser. He is not stingy. He is not selfish. He wants to give you everything of the kingdom that you have coming your way. And if you just ask in faith and you believe, then God will give it to you. James says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In Him there is no change and no shifting shadow. And so as you ask the Lord for the good and perfect gifts that He has for you, I can assure you God has your best interest at heart. He has a love for you at heart. James 1:17, that is, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning or shifting shadow. God doesn't change His mind. He doesn't go back on His promises. His word is yes and amen. And He's not a fickle God. He's not like people. He doesn't lie to us. He doesn't change His mind every day. And so God wants you to have every good and perfect gift. And the third level of asking is, first you ask and then you seek the Lord with all of your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and then you knock on the door of the kingdom of heaven. You knock. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door shall be opened. If you want to know the deeper mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, you start knocking on the door of heaven. You start knocking on the door of the kingdom of God, and Jesus will open that door for you, and He will give you revelation into the deeper mysteries of the kingdom, not just in regards to healing, that's just one thing, but in regards to angelic activity, in regards to salvation, in regards to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you start knocking on the door of the kingdom, when you start seeking with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and when you start asking in faith and believing that God wants you to have these things, then God will open up the kingdom of heaven for you. And you can move forward in power. You can move forward in confidence. You can move forward in boldness. You can move forward and know the deeper things of the kingdom, because that is God's will for your life. When I first started preaching back in 2000, going into the prison and preaching, and was just starting to get a taste of the kingdom of God and starting to scratch the surface in my life of the kingdom of God, I just had one simple prayer, and that was, Lord, show me your way. Show me your way. I didn't know all of the destiny that God had for me. I didn't know what all He had laid out for me, and so my prayer was just a simple prayer, Lord, show me your way. And He started to open doors for me. I started to seek Him. I sought Him in prayer and in fasting. I sought Him in Bible study, spent hours and days studying God's Word, reading it through many times over. And so if you will do that, if you will just seek the Lord and abandon the world and seek the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here to serve You. I'm here to know You. I want to know You in a deeper way. I want to walk with You. And when you start knocking on the door of the kingdom of heaven in that way, God will reward you. He will bless you. And He will open up the kingdom of heaven for you and pour out all the blessings, so much so that you cannot hold it all. And so that is God's will for your life. Well, if you turn over to Mark chapter 9, verse 17, we're going to look at another instance where Jesus healed a young boy who was deaf and mute. And so this young boy was brought to Jesus in verse 17. One of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, but they could not cast it out. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And the reason Jesus said that was because he was getting frustrated, you might say. He was getting a little impatient with people because he had been teaching the disciples about casting out demons. He gave them authority. In Matthew 10:8, he gave them authority to go into the house of Israel and to cast out demons and to raise the dead and to heal the sick and to cleanse the lepers. And so he had been teaching them about faith and healing. And he was, in a way, telling them, in a secret way, that he was not going to be with them forever. He says, "Oh, how long will I bear you? How long will I be with you, faithless generation?" In other words, he's saying, you have to pick up my torch. You have to pick up my mantle and believe as I do. You have to believe with the same faith that I do, because I'm not going to be here forever, and I'm not going to be here long to do this for you. And so he was a bit frustrated, and also giving them a clandestine message there that he wasn't going to be with them for very long. In verse 20, "Then they brought the mute boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth." So Jesus asked the man's father, the young boy's father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And so Jesus was giving him a lesson here, and he was saying, "If you can believe." In other words, he was saying, "I can heal this young boy. I can cast out the demons that are causing his muteness, or I can cast out any demon that is causing anybody's affliction or heal their bodies." But Jesus said, "I want you to activate your faith. I want you to activate your faith, and you believe for great and mighty things." And this is a lesson for us. We need to come to God with our faith activated. God can heal us of anything. He's a powerful, sovereign God. He can heal us of anything. There's no problem in your life, beloved, that God can't take care of. There's no problem in your life that he is not able to fix or to take care of. But sometimes God just wants to leave us in our problems so that our faith will be strengthened, so that our faith will be activated. He wants to sometimes leave us in our problem so that we'll seek him in a divine way and seek him in greater measure. And God leaves us in our situation, in our problem, so that we will believe for greater things, and that we have some divine pressure on us, some divine pressure that we will look to the Lord in greater measure rather than look to the world for the solutions that the world has or for the solutions that man has for us. And so God sometimes leaves us in a situation so that we'll cry out to him more, that we'll stay persevering in our prayers, and we'll stay in greater measure on our knees, we'll stay in greater measure in our Bible study, we'll stay in greater measure in our fasting, and we do that, and God leaves us there, and we do that so that we can come to know the Lord in a greater way. All of the circumstances of life, including afflictions of our body, and all of the other circumstances of our life, financial breakdown, divorce, all of these situations come about in our life, and God wants to use those situations. He wants to use those circumstances to bring us closer to him, to bring us in a more intimate walk with the Lord. And so I think if you would look back on your afflictions, your physical afflictions, and the times when you were sick, and times when you maybe were in the hospital, or you were broken because of some situation or relationship that is broken down in your life, I think you would look back on those times and say, "That is a time when I really had to trust the Lord. That is a time when I really had to seek God and really had to depend on him and lean not on my own understanding." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord in all of your ways and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." And when you come to trust the Lord in every situation, and you come to seek the Lord with great diligence and with great perseverance in every situation, then God can really expand your faith. He can really move in your life, and he will move in such a way that you will start to trust him for every little detail in your life. That is God's will for your life, beloved. That is his desire for you, that you come to know him in a greater measure. And so Jesus says in verse 23, Mark 9, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And so God is challenging each of us to believe in greater measure for everything that he has for us, to believe in greater measure for everything that he wants to do in our family, in our nation. I believe God wants to bring revival into this nation in greater measure. I believe God wants to stir up the fires of revival in America and bring people back to him by the millions, by the tens of millions. I believe God wants to restore the desires of the people in this nation, that this be a godly nation, and that your family, that every person in your family be saved, that every person in your family would catch on fire for the Lord and seek him in greater measure. I believe this is possible. I believe it's possible for God to turn this nation over upside down and inside out and shake this nation in such a way that they're going to desire him in greater measure. They will seek him and they will call out to him. Well, verse 24, we'll go on to finish this story. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that, the people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And then the spirit cried out, it convulsed him greatly, and it came out of him. And he became as one dead. That is, the young boy became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Jesus, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And so there are some spirits that are very entrenched, that are very determined. They've been there since childhood and maybe even before, maybe in the womb they entered in. And so some spirits that can only be dealt with through prayer and fasting. Just faith isn't enough, or you activate your faith, you might say, by prayer and fasting. And so if there are things that are bothering you, if there are spirits that are bothering you and behaviors that you know are not godly, and they are bothering you, you may want to spend some time in prayer and fasting and watch the Lord move those spirits out of your life. Watch the Lord come into your heart and take authority over those spirits that cannot be moved out any other way except by prayer and by fasting. Well, faith and healing, we know it's a big subject. God wants to expand your faith. He wants you to come to him believing. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him, for those who come to God must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so, beloved, if you want to please God, if you want to be on God's list of those who have great faith, you have to seek him with all the faith that you have, and you have to believe for things that you cannot see. You have to believe for things that are way out there in your future. You have to believe for things that you have no evidence of, but faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the conviction or the convincing knowledge of things not seen. And when God sees you exercising your faith, and he sees you with the works that show your faith, for faith without works is dead, when he sees you activate your faith to produce good works for the kingdom, he says, oh, I love that. I'm going to credit to you as righteousness, and you are a friend of mine. Well, beloved, we enjoy bringing these messages to you. We are a listener-supported radio ministry, and I believe that Gather the Outcast is doing some great and mighty things around the earth, not necessarily because of me, but because God is giving me the strength and the provision to do it. I ask you to come alongside this ministry and support us and sit down and pray about your part in coming alongside this ministry. Write out a check and send it to us. We've got a great book offer, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. We'll get that book into your hands for a donation of any amount. And so you pray about your part, come alongside this ministry, and we will continue to bring these broadcasts to you. We love you and thank you. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.